Welcome to Rewind or Die. I'm Jeff, and today we're kicking off what I genuinely thought was going to be a thoughtful, well-researched look at Gene Hackman's later career. This is a beautiful stretch of Hackman's filmography where he plays grizzled mentors, angry dads, guys who've seen too much and definitely used to be in black ops. Today I thought we'd be diving into The Firm, Hackman opposite Cruise, corporate espionage, morally gray, legal drama, all that good stuff. Wait!
Yeah. Okay. Cool monologue, Jeff, but I'm going to go ahead and hijack the episode real quick.
You're what now?
Yeah. I'm taking control. I'm steering the ship now, pal. Gotta change course. Captain's orders.
This isn't your show.
Actually, it is. Go check the feed. I'm listed as executive producer, editor, theme music wizard, and spiritual chaos architect. Also, it's April Fool's. That gives me legal immunity. So today, we're not talking about Gene Hackman. We're not talking about lawyers or moral ambiguity or Tom Cruise running. Nope. Today, we're talking about a movie. A movie that was on TBS so many times, we think it may have been part of a federal investigation. A movie about a man, a legend, a force of pure flip-flop energy.
What the hell is going on?
It's got a boat. It's got a family. It's got Martin Short looking like he's having a full nervous breakdown in every single frame. This man, this hero, wears an eye patch for absolutely no reason. There's a kid who might be a government experiment. There are pirates. There's Cuba. There's possibly insurance fraud. The director vanished after this. The child actor never worked again. Kurt Russell has never admitted to making this movie in public. Welcome to Rewind or Die, April Fools. We're doing Captain Freaking Ron.
Isn't this great? Open ocean, uncharted islands. Who knows what's waiting for us out there?
The mighty Caribbean, home of romance, adventure, and living legends like Captain Ron.
Let's hear the Harvey Bug.
A man of courage and dedication, to whom the sea is more than a job, more than a calling. It's home.
Are you kidding?
Now, he's about to cast his very special spell on the Harveys.
This sucks.
I have worked very, very hard to plan a spontaneous adventure, and Captain Goofy, hey boss! Captain Cyclops. Captain's Contagious over there is screwing it up.
You know, there's gorillas in these woods.
No gorillas, not here, no way.
He said gorilla, not gorilla. Huge difference.
Whoa. Dad's losing it.
Captain Ron? Captain Ron? May I have the camera, please?
Captain Ron doesn't mean a thing to me.
I am not jealous.
Captain Ron is teaching them the laws of the sea.
Hey, get your hands off that.
You want a beer, you get your own beer.
Taking them to places they never dreamed of.
Martin, we're in Cuba?
Back to the raft! Back to the raft!
And he's turning these four sailors. Into one big, happy family.
I never seen such sailors. Not in all my born days, I ain't. Every one of you is naturals.
The pirates of the Caribbean!
What pirates?
Kurt Russell.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Martin Short.
Been to Disney World one too many times, have we, Captain Ron?
Captain Ron.
Dad!
Captain Ron, could you come up, please? Captain Ron? Captain Ron?
I genuinely, truly do not understand what just happened.
Ha ha ha. It's too late, buddy. You're already on the boat.
We're in it now. There's no going back. Listen to me. Before we say one more word, we need to ask the real question. Why was Captain Ron always on television?
Right? Like, not once in a while. Not, oh, hey, it's on. It was constantly. It was on TBS, TNT, USA, AMC, Bravo, Disney Channel. Disney Channel.
Bro, I turned on a television in a waiting room in 2004, and guess what was on? Captain Ron.
It was always there. You didn't watch Captain Ron. You just became aware that it was happening to you.
Like an atmospheric event. You didn't choose it. It just settled over the room.
It was basic cable weather, a low-pressure syndication system. Captain Ron was the humidity of Saturday afternoons in the 90s.
Dude, it was like a cable signal haunting. I think I saw it on a channel that didn't exist.
Okay, but for real, how did this happen? Did some TBS executive just say, hey guys, this one movie where Martin Short gets yelled at by a boat guy, let's run it 7 times a week forever?
Or was it something darker?
It was a syndication curse.
No, it was a scam. A full-blown cable industry cover-up. I'm talking TBS, money, laundering, through, Captain Ron.
Are you saying someone was using Captain Ron to commit financial crimes?
Yes. Yes, I am. I 1,000% believe that this movie was a cover story for a very real criminal enterprise.
Step one, you buy the syndication rights. Step two, you air it so many times that nobody asks questions. Step three, you write it off forever. Step four, you own a media empire.
My God, was Captain Ron the foundation of the Turner Broadcasting System?
Yes, Jeff. It built the house that cable TV lives in.
I don't even think Ted Turner knows he owns this movie. I think the movie owns him.
You know who else was in this movie? You know who we haven't talked about enough yet? Martin freaking Short. Martin Short.
Don't.
Ha ha. Oh, he's doing it.
Martin. God. Short.
You said we were doing Captain Ron.
We are. We are doing Captain Ron, but we cannot do Captain Ron without confronting Clifford.
Oh my God, he's connecting them.
In the year 1994, Martin Short, age 40, played a 10-year-old boy named Clifford. He wore short pants, he spoke in a child voice, and he did it with the kind of commitment that should have landed someone in comedy prison.
It was deeply upsetting.
And here's where it gets messed up. Watch Captain Ron again, I dare you. Martin Short's character in Captain Ron, that's just Clifford grown up.
Oh God, he's right. The energy is identical.
No, I refuse to believe this.
He grew up. He got married. He had kids. He took a vacation. And guess who his captain was? Guess who his captain was? Captain Ron. Captain Ron.
Adam, stop. We can't keep doing this.
Clifford isn't just a movie. It's a warning, a prophecy, the story of a boy. Too powerful to age. He lives in the walls of genre. He surfaces when we least expect it. He was Captain Ron. He is Captain Ron. And one day, he'll be U.S.
Okay, but like, when are we doing the Clifford episode?
Next month. Full breakdown. No notes. No mercy.
I hate this show.
Okay, listen to me. I'm not saying this lightly, but I have a theory, a real theory, a theory that might change the way we see film history.
Adam, number...
Yes, Captain Ron is the spiritual prototype for Jack Sparrow.
Yes, he is. Oh my God.
That's not... No. Captain Jack Sparrow is a drunken pirate. Captain Ron is...
Is what, Jeff? He's a drunk. He's a navigational liability. He's dubiously charming. He wears an eye patch for a reason no one ever explains. He keeps showing up where he shouldn't be.
He lies constantly. He flirts with everyone. He doesn't even know what's on the map. He is the map.
Oh my God.
Johnny Depp saw Captain Ron. He saw it. He was in a room, maybe on a couch, probably with some rum. And he watched this movie and thought, yeah, that, but sexy.
And that's how we got Pirates of the Caribbean.
Captain Ron crawled so Jack Sparrow could drunkenly stagger.
Please stop. I can't argue this. I hate that I'm starting to agree.
Jeff, it's okay. Just let it happen.
You're already on the boat, man.
Think about it. They both just want to ride the wind and mess with everybody's plans. They leave a trail of chaos, broken laws, confused bystanders, and maybe a weird amount of charisma.
They're both allergic to accountability.
And boats. They both have a relationship with boats.
It's the same character. One just has a better wardrobe.
Oh no, this changes everything.
It was never Captain Ron versus the sea. It was Captain Ron versus the audience. And he won. He slipped away and became Jack Sparrow. Okay, let me ask the question no studio exec had the courage to face. Where is Captain Ron 2?
Oh no.
We deserved it.
This movie made $22 million. It has a recognizable star. It had a boat. It had a recognizable brand.
Are you seriously implying there was demand for more of this? And people paid for this?
Yes. You know what people love? Chaotic male energy on a boat. You know what studios love? Movies that don't need sets. You shoot it on water. No one needs permits in international waters. You can do crimes.
It's the perfect sequel format. You just slap Ron on a different boat. Different family, different country, same flip-flops.
I have the titles ready. Ready. Here we go. Captain Ron 2. Ron Harder. Captain Ron 3. The Curse of Ron's Gold Tooth. Captain Ron. Tides of Chaos. Captain Ron versus Windstorm, The Reckoning. Captain Ron and the Ron Who Knew Too Much.
Please tell me you didn't write these down.
I wrote the first two screenplays.
This one has Oran fighting sea pirates and smuggling a parrot into a casino.
And it's a Christmas movie.
No!
I just don't understand how this didn't become a franchise. It's all there. The character. Iconic. The boat, floating. The actor, willing. Kurt Russell is out there right now wearing an eye patch for free.
They made 4 Beethoven movies and 0 Captain Ron sequels. That's a crime against cinema.
And if any Hollywood execs are listening right now, let him sail again, let Ron rise. Act 5, The Missing People of Captain Ron. Not everyone made it out of this movie.
Oh, God, we're doing this.
Fine, fine. Let's talk about the missing people of Captain Ron. I've got the folder. It's labeled Unknown Entity, Case File 1992.
Director Tom Eberhardt, known for Night of the Comet, also credited with Without a Clue and Captain Ron, and then nothing.
Like vanished into the sea mist.
No major projects, no reboots, no commentaries, not even an IMDb. Interview from 2007.
Just gone.
Did this movie end his career, or was that the plan all along?
What if Tom Eberhardt was a code name, like a deep cover alias? What if, and hear me out, the studio invented a director, so no one would ask who was really responsible.
He doesn't exist outside this movie. Find me one video interview, one red carpet photo. You can't.
What if the film directed itself?
Now, the kid, the son, the presence, Benjamin Salisbury.
Fake name.
He has like 5 total credits. Then poof.
He was in this movie, and then he became a rumor.
This kid's energy is off. He talks like he's being controlled, like someone's behind the camera with cue cards and a remote control.
I watched a scene. He blinked. But not in sync with his dialogue.
I'm sorry, are we implying he was a puppet?
I'm saying he might have been a hologram.
Or worse, a replacement. Think about it. What if the original actor vanished days before filming? And they didn't have time. They didn't have options. They went with the first human-shaped thing they could find.
A producer's nephew, a kid who was never meant to be on camera.
There's no way... But it explains so much.
He wasn't acting. He wasn't performing. He was just occupying screen space until the Ron took him back.
I think he's still out there somewhere in the fog, trapped in syndication.
He is TBS now.
Closing the files for now. We may never know what really happened to Tom Eberhardt or that boy who wasn't a boy. But one thing's for certain. Captain Ron leaves no survivors, only syndication rights. Okay. Let's get into the real conspiracy. Forget syndication, forget boats. Let's talk about something worse. Hollywood accounting.
Number,
yes.
I'm talking about tax shelter cinema, a proud tradition where studios say, hey, what if we made a movie that's technically a movie, but actually just a financial write-off?
You mean like, we made a film that nobody's supposed to see and it helps us bury losses for real movies?
Exactly. I'm saying Captain Ron might have been made to lose money on purpose.
Let's break it down. $22 million budget, minimal sets, mostly boat, no major stunts, no CGI, Kurt Russell in a tank top, half the movie is ocean, three speaking roles and a bunch of confused extras.
That's like $5 million in sunscreen and margaritas.
And who was distributing this movie? Touchstone, a Disney label, a division that just so happened to sweep losses into a vault labeled Miscellaneous 92.
Ron was never supposed to make Landfall.
This movie is the perfect fiscal ghost. It was made with a single location, the ocean, a star with vacation energy, a script that reads like it was written in crayon on a napkin, a plot that makes just enough sense to claim tax legitimacy, but not enough to succeed.
It's too harmless. It's not a failure. It's just there.
It's like a blank check with a mustache.
So what do? You bury it? You air it occasionally? You let it quietly underperform? And in the books? You claim losses. You shuffle some numbers, and boom. Suddenly Captain Ron is helping cover the cost of Aladdin.
So what you're telling me is Captain Ron may have saved the Disney Renaissance by failing.
He didn't just captain the boat, he kept the ship afloat.
This wasn't just a tax shelter, it was a tax lighthouse, guiding other projects to safety by crashing itself into the rocks.
I want off this boat.
Too late. You're already in international waters, baby. And guess what? Nobody audits in international waters. You ever watch Captain Ron and think to yourself, this guy feels too real?
Number never. Absolutely not.
I've met that man. I don't know how, but I have.
Because here's the thing. Captain Ron doesn't feel written. He doesn't feel like a character. He feels like someone the screenwriter met on a boat after a series of legally ambiguous events and then never saw again.
This wasn't created. It was witnessed.
Somewhere out there in the late 80s, a screenwriter, let's call him Frank, went on a cruise. Maybe it was a bachelor party. Maybe it was rehab. Either way, he met a man. A man who wore no shoes, drank warm beer from a snorkel, told stories that made no sense but felt deeply personal, and called the Coast Guard cowards.
That sounds like someone who shouldn't be allowed near a boat.
Exactly. But he was the captain. And Frank thought, I must tell the world. But I can't use his real name because I'm scared of maritime vengeance. So he wrote a script, changed the names, toned it down, gave him an eye patch to throw the authorities off, and thus Captain Ron was born.
Do we have any evidence this guy wasn't based on a real person?
Oh my God, what if he was?
Think about it. He breaks laws with charm. He inspires people against their will. He shows up, causes chaos, disappears. That's not fiction. That's a local legend. He's like a folk hero.
He's like a folk hero no one asked for. A nautical cryptid. The Florida man of the sea.
Exactly. You don't cast Kurt Russell to play someone like that. You cast him because he's the only man alive who can contain the spirit.
I swear to God, if this turns into a Captain Ron is real and lives in a floating shack off the coast of Key West theory,
then you are correct.
There are stories, there are sightings, there are shanties. They say he once swam through customs in Bermuda with a six-pack duct taped to his back. They say he beat Poseidon in a drinking contest and never paid the tab. They say he whispers to sea turtles and they whisper back.
I heard he ghostwrites Jimmy Buffett songs.
I heard he's been inside Captain Ron, too, this whole time, just waiting for a green light.
Wherever you are, real Ron, we see you, we believe you, and we apologize for the ending of this movie, which I'm 80% sure no one has ever seen. Okay, let me ask you honestly, and I want you to really think about it. Have you ever seen the ending of Captain Ron?
Number
not once.
Exactly. Because I'm starting to believe, and hear me out here, the movie doesn't have one.
I remember the beginning. I remember Martin Short falling off docks, Ron saying insane things, kids screaming. But then it's just gone.
Right? You'd be watching on TBS or TNT, and it would just cut to credits, like mid-scene, like mid-sentence. Like
it fades out in a commercial break haze. You turn around, come back from grabbing a soda, and suddenly Home Improvement is on.
Do we even know what happens to the family?
Did they get home? Did they sell the boat? Did they sink?
Does Ron just disappear into the sea? Does he transform into a seagull and fly away?
Did the movie ever actually end? Or have we been trapped in the loop this whole time?
What if the runtime is just a suggestion? What if it's procedurally generated every time you watch it?
A syndication Ouroboros, a snake eating its own reel, a Ron without beginning or end.
I'm going to throw my television in the ocean.
You can try. But when you wake up tomorrow, Captain Ron will be on again. Some movies make money. Some movies win awards. Some movies live in theaters, then disappear into the streaming void. But a select few live forever. Not because they deserve to, not because anyone asked them to, but because they refuse to leave.
Oh my God.
We're not talking about cinema anymore. We're talking about broadcast possession.
Think about it. How many times did Captain Ron air? Hundreds? Thousands? No ad campaign. No rerun strategy. Just constant ambient presence. Like it infiltrated the program guide. So you're saying Captain Ron isn't a film. It's a signal.
Yes. Like The Ring, but with Jimmy Buffett songs and a child you don't remember. You'd be flipping channels and boom, there it is. Channel 34, Captain Ron. Channel 44, also Captain Ron. Channel 12, rerun of Cheers. Nope. Midway through, it cuts to Captain Ron.
I think I watched the first 20 minutes once a week for a decade.
You never watch it on purpose. It comes to you.
Other movies are remembered. But Captain Ron was embedded. It coated cable TV like dust. It entered our homes through background noise. It hid inside sick days and background noise and divorced dad weekends. It's not a movie. It's a presence.
It won.
And so I ask again, can a movie haunt a broadcast schedule and win? South. We did it. We actually did it. We talked about Captain Ron forever. And I'm still not sure what just happened.
I feel like I blacked out in 1994 and just woke up now. Am I still on the boat? Am any of us off the boat?
Number, we never left. We've just been adrift.
Captain Ron wasn't just a movie. It was a frequency. A transmission beamed directly into our childhoods through basic cable reruns, half-remembered plot lines, and sweaty island shirts. It was a tax scam. It was a vacation. It was a test of our ability to remember if we'd ever actually seen the ending.
And maybe we weren't meant to.
So what did we learn? Did Ron teach us anything? Did we grow? Did we change? Did any of this actually happen?
I think Captain Ron lives in all of us. The chaos, the charm, the deep, deep urge to do absolutely nothing right and somehow be beloved for it.
So this was our April Fool's episode, huh?
Yep, and honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Let this be known. On this day, in this feed, we sailed into the unknown. And we found something there. A mustache, a tank top, and an eye patch with no explanation.
From Touchstone Pictures, Martin Harvey thought he planned the perfect sailing vacation. But what he got was...
Captain Ron!
Are you kidding?
Now Martin's boat, his wife...
Captain Ron, may I have the camera, please?
And his kids...
You want a beer, you get your own beer.
...are under Captain Ron's spell, and it's driving Martin crazy. Kurt Russell. Martin Short. Captain Ron.
Hang on, boss.
Oh! Rated PG-13. Starts Friday, September 18th.
All right, folks, if you're still listening, first of all, thank you. Second of all, are you okay? because we just spent an entire episode chasing down a man in a tank top with an eye patch, trying to figure out if he was real, fictional, or possibly a reincarnated pirate accountant with a deal at TBS.
I had a research folder labeled Gene Hackman Career Phase 3. It's gone now. I fed it to the sea.
We have no answers, only boat gas and sunstroke.
We'll be back this Thursday with a brand new Rewind or Die Shorts, where we'll probably talk about something normal like fast food regrets, weird VHS tapes, and whether Captain Ron is responsible for the global decline in map usage. And then, next Monday, we're finally going to cover The Firm. Yes, for real this time, Tom Cruise. Legal thriller. Gene Hackman doing serious acting instead of trying to survive maritime chaos energy.
Unless Ron shows up again.
He's always out there, somewhere, sunburned, smiling, possibly holding your car title hostage.
So until then, keep your flip-flops close, check your VHS shelves, and remember, if someone ever offers you a free boat, say no, because that's how Captain Ron begins. This was Rewind or Die. We'll see you Thursday. We'll see you Monday. And if the sea ever calls your name, don't pick up. It's probably Ron. Hey, thanks for listening to Rewind or Die. There's always a new episode every Monday, so don't miss out. Remember to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Producer Steve hopes you have enjoyed this program.